Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 37 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking a lot of girls basketball today as we're right in the middle of the girls state tournament at Wells Fargo Arena. We're going to break down Ankeny Centennial's overtime loss to Southeast Polk in the Class 5A quarterfinals on Monday with a couple of the Jaguars. In a little while, we'll be talking with Kenna Sauer, who had a double-double in the final game of her high school basketball career. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He just completed his sixth season as the head coach at Centennial. He guided the Jaguars to a 15-8 record this season and now owns a career mark of 107-34 at the school. He is Scott DeYoung. Scott, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, congratulations on another outstanding season. You know, before we dive into Monday's game, I wanted to ask you about the preparation for the game. You guys had played Southeast Polk once earlier this season. You dropped a 51-44 decision on November 27th. Now, that game was played nearly 3 months ago, and both teams had obviously improved, but I'm sure you went back and watched that game to prepare for the rematch. You know, what were the things that stuck out to you when you watched that first game?
Well, Kenna's sitting here, and I told her how great she played in that game. So, no, not really. I told her she didn't play very good. Uh-huh. And she says, well, I only practiced 4 or 5 times, and I think that was true. It was just so long ago, and, you know, Kenna and Rachel missed some practice, and Kenna had some all-star game stuff. So, really, it wasn't even the same team, but you could really see some of the things maybe that would work for us and some of the concerns we'd have going into the game against Southeast Polk. But, you know, as all teams do, both teams grew a lot, and we were very confident that we could, you know, play right with Southeast Polk.
Well, your team fell behind in that first game, 23-10, and was never able to make up that deficit. You know, I'm sure you were hoping to get off to a better start in Monday's game, but instead you got off to an even slower start as the Rams raced out to a 16-3 lead in the first quarter. You know, do you think your kids were nervous at all since most of them hadn't played in the tournament before?
I don't know. Kenna goes like this, like, I don't know. Well, you know, we've had kids that have played in championship games. We have some kids on the team that played in the Arch Championship game in 2016. So, you know, I don't know if that was the case. It was kind of an unusual going through 3 overtimes and you don't know what to do. But we, probably my mistake, we were out watching. We were in the locker room. And I happened to be standing by Ken. I'd say, what should we do? Let's go back. So, but I don't know if that affect, you know, it's the same for both teams. But Southeast Polk certainly came out firing, and to their credit, they were making the shots. And if they're taking those shots and missing them, it's a little different, but we just didn't get back on defense. I know they had a couple layups, and we seemed to be a little slow, so I think we were a little uptight. But fortunately, we worked through that, or it would have been, you know, pretty ugly.
Oh, sure. Well, before we get back into your game, you mentioned the 3 overtime game that you guys were watching between Dowling and Waukee. You know, did you have any flashbacks to your 5 overtime game back in 97 when you guys played Waterloo West?
Well, when we went back to the locker room, we did talk about, I mean, trying to think of some things to talk about and just asking, well, what's the longest, how many overtimes, what's the record? And we said it was 5 because we played in that. And so it was kind of fun to reminisce and talk about that.
Well, like you mentioned, you guys did recover from, you know, that slow start. You picked up the intensity. You started to hit some shots. You closed the gap to 30-24 at halftime. You know, were you feeling pretty good about your team's chances at that point? What was your message to the kids in the locker room?
Well, I thought, you know, we were just, I said how lucky we were to be down by 6 after, you know, being down by 13. And, you know, Southeast Polk playing really good and we're really not playing that good. So being down by 6 really was like a blessing. And that's how we looked at it. And the good news was we were playing a little better going into the half, starting to make some shots. Our defense was getting more aggressive. And, you know, we felt really good in the state tournament and chance to go in the semifinals down by 6 and playing better. So, we've been a second half team most of the year, and that turned out to be what happened, you know, as the game went on.
Well, you guys did come back and tie the score late in the third quarter. Then you took the lead for the first time midway through the final period. Unfortunately, you scored just 1 point in that final 3 minutes and 30 seconds of regulation. That allowed Southeast Polk to tie the score and force overtime. You know, you had some good looks at the basket there in those last few minutes. You know, just couldn't get one to drop, could you?
Well, the third quarter, we played really, really good. We gave up a couple offensive rebounds. We made a couple threes right away. And then, unfortunately, we've had this. They hit 2 threes. But in that middle frame there into the fourth, we played really, really, really good. We're making plays on both sides of the floor. A little deceptive in the last 4 minutes. Southeast Polk held the ball probably for at least a minute. and we happened to foul somebody they missed, and then we held the ball for, I think, the last 45 seconds. So there wasn't a lot of possessions. You know, we really had what we wanted, and like Ken and I were talking about just a little bit ago, we had so many balls that rolled around and fell off, and I really think there was at least 10 of those, and if one of them rolls in, it's a different story, but that's, you know, on the losing side. So, yeah, and then in overtime, things just didn't, you know, didn't go our way, but, you know, we still had some chances, and just didn't happen for us.
Well, there were three lead changes in overtime before Southeast Polk took the lead for good on a pair of free throws by Maggie McGraw, and she had 9 of her team's 10 points in overtime and finished with a game-high 24. You know, she just made a lot of big plays down the stretch, didn't she?
She did. I thought, you know, there was a few times that our defense could have been better. I mean, that's what we're really good at. But, you know, good players do that. They come through when you need them, and that's what she did. And, you know, we put her to the – or I should say she got to the free throw line, and, you know, that's just deadly from there. You can't put her there because she's not going to miss those. And it was just a little bit too much for us to overcome. Although, like you said, we did have the lead in overtime. It wasn't like we didn't play well. We just – you know, we couldn't stop McGraw. I told Kenna this just a little bit ago that for whatever reason, I don't know, but it is a huge mistake on my part that, you know, we have one of the best the best athlete on the floor, and why I didn't put her on McGraw, I have no idea, but it might have made just a little bit of difference. It might have made a lot of difference, but, you know, those are the things that, you know, you rehash after the game's over.
Sure. Well, this is one thing I didn't ask you about the other day, but you guys had one final shot there, you know, at the end of overtime when you were down by three in the final seconds. Rachel Schoen, you know, got a look from three-point range, kind of a desperation three that was off the mark. And I know she can make a three-pointer, but I'm guessing that really wasn't the shot you were looking for there, right?
No, not at all. And we had a timeout left, and obviously – you know, there's a couple ways to go. You call the timeout, set it up. They can set up their defense or change it. But we ran a play, and we were hoping to get Meg coming off a stagger on a play we call Iowa. And we just didn't execute it at all. And, you know, so we didn't get the shot we wanted. And in hindsight, we would have called a timeout and set up a play. Been a little more organized, but we didn't. So that's how that goes.
Well, sometimes the other team plays good defense too. You got to give them credit. So
true.
Well, when you look at the final stats from the game, you know, your team only had 6 turnovers. You had 16 offensive rebounds, which led to a 60-46 advantage in shots attempted. You know, usually that's a recipe for success, isn't it?
Yeah, I have the stats in my bag. I mean, we had 60 shots. Our huddle stats have 65. So that we got 20 more shots than they did almost. We only had 6 turnovers, which is remarkable for our kids in a high-pressure game. We had 18 offensive rebounds. We just didn't make enough shots. At the end, we just didn't make enough shots and didn't keep them off the free throw line. And we gave them some transition baskets. Those are all part of our real game plan. So in all of that, we still had chances to win. I think that says a lot about the resolve, the talent that we actually had, although – you know, Ken is sitting here, and she's known as a premier volleyball player. She's a pretty darn good basketball player, too. But, you know, we have a team, and I think it showed our potential because we left a lot out there that could have been just a little bit better and moving on to the semifinals. But like you said, you give Southeast Polk a lot of credit. They're a really good team. They're really well coached. They play hard, and they did what they needed to win.
Now, you probably didn't realize this. After the game, I was looking at the final score, and I thought, geez, that final score looks kind of familiar. And I looked it up. Did you realize that it was the same score that you guys had against Iowa City West, that overtime game in 2012?
I did not realize that.
61-56, yeah. Of course, I think that game was 1 point different going into the overtime than what you had.
Yeah, I have nightmares about that. So
I'll bet.
you know, we gave up a 3, I don't know why, to tie it, which never should have happened. Then Maddie Manning's coming down 100 miles an hour and just has a high dribble, and they called that a turnover. But I'm guaranteeing you she would have got to the basket and got fouled or probably made the shot. But,
oh, sure.
You know, that's how that goes, too.
We still have to be awfully proud of what this team was able to accomplish. You know, like we discussed earlier this season, and you just mentioned, you know, your team did not have a Division I basketball player on it. You do have a Division I athlete in Kenna as far as volleyball goes. And I think every other team in class at the 5A field, you know, had at least one, if not more, Division I players. So you got to be awfully proud of, you know, the 3 seniors on this team and what they were able to do for this program.
Well, we had a whole bunch of Division I character kids. That's what we had, and that makes a huge difference. You know, like Kenna had said to me earlier, that we had a real team, and it wasn't like, you know, people were selfish. They were happy for each other. They were playing for each other. And I think it shows you what you can do when you get a group pulling together for a common cause, that some really good things can happen, and that's what happened with this team.
Well, before we talk a little bit more about your team moving forward, I wanted to get your thoughts on the rest of the Class 5A tournament. You told me that you guys would be going down to watch the semifinals on Thursday. You know, we've got a couple of good matchups. We've got Johnston and Valley in the first game, and then Dowling and Southeast Polk in the second game. You know, you're obviously very familiar with all of those teams. You know, so who do you like in tomorrow's games?
Well, I won't say what Ken and I were talking about, but I think, you know, the first game, Johnston has they have the premier athletes. You know, not that Valley doesn't, they do too, but they got the size, they got the athleticism, they got the point guard, they have a great role player. I think they'll be really hard to beat, but when you throw Zoe out there, you know, she could go off, and you know, Fuller and the other kids they have, so I think that'll be a really good game. And you know, Southeast Polk against Dowling and Clark, real interesting. You know, I think they're all toss-ups, and I think the finals will be a really, really great game.
Well, I think so, too. As far as Johnston goes, you know, they had that crazy game the other day where they were down 18 at the half and then to come back and win. It seems like sometimes when a team has a scare like that that they overcome, that sometimes it propels them forward to maybe go on all the way. So I wonder if maybe that'll happen.
But. Yeah, I said to some of my coaches they might just have won a state championship game. Now, that's if we weren't playing, you know, them in the finals. But I really think that could happen. It shows you how really, really good. Urbandale's has a really, really good team, as we well know, and probably three Division I basketball players on that team, and to be down by 18 and come back just shows how good they really, really are. And yeah, they're the number one seed for a reason, so if they play well, I'm not sure anybody can beat them.
Now, you guys twice defeated Dowling this season, and you clearly had some success in defending Caitlin Clark. She went 7-for-29 in the first game, and she was 15-of-42 in the second game. You know, what was your defensive strategy against her?
Well, I'm not sure if we had success. She scored like 40 some points, but you know, it wasn't like we were going to let her score, but we really kind of had our whole team, you know, trying to defend her when she had the ball, and she still scored that much. But we, I think, really pressured their other kids and tried to make them to make plays when they had the ball. And, you know, that seemed to work for us. But, you know, I'm sure if we play her a third time, that would be a way different story. She's a really, really tremendous player. And unfortunately, we have to play her again next year at least a couple times.
Right, right. Now, you've been coaching a long time. You've seen a lot of elite players come and go. You know, do you ever recall coaching against a player like Clark, you know, who takes such a high percentage of her team shots? You know, somebody who takes, you know, 40-some shots, that's crazy.
Yeah, she has supreme confidence in every shot she takes, she thinks she's going to make, and not a lot of kids can do that. And, you know, in their system, she's got the freedom to cut it loose, and I think that's what allows her to play so well. So yeah, she's just an unusual player, and you know, is able to do that. It is pretty remarkable. One of the best in the country, you know, that you'll see Friday or Thursday for sure.
Well, of course, Clark is being recruited by, you know, many of the top programs in the country, and you guys just got done playing against Maggie McGraw, who's headed to Iowa State. Now, I know you've followed the Iowa State program for a long time because, you know, you had a couple of former players that played for Coach Fenley. You know, how do you think she's going to fit into their system up there?
Oh, I think she'll be great. I mean, look at the Jens girl, what she's done. Maggie can shoot it from the three. She can drive the ball. She's got some size. She's a good ball handler. You know, she'll play great defense down there. That'll make sure that'll happen. I think she's, you know, got just a tremendous future ahead of her.
Well, let's finish up here by talking a little bit more about your team. You know, we mentioned that you'll be losing the three seniors, but you will return a strong nucleus next season. You'll have three returning starters in guards, Taylor Runchy and Meg Burns, and post player Alexandria Kiana Harris. You know, that gives you a pretty good trio to build around, doesn't it?
Well, we're going to miss our seniors for sure. We, you know, we play a unique style, and, you know, Kenna improved so much during the year, and Rachel had a great season. Lily King, I can't say enough about her, really didn't play any at the beginning of the year, and came along so much. But hopefully those kids, if our younger kids see the example they made about what a real team is and what it's like to be selfless and accountable and work towards goals, I think, you know, we could have something special again next year. So those three you said are certainly some kids to start around. They need to improve for sure. If you look at the players coming back, Clark, McDermott, you know, Larkin, the list goes on and on, Waite. We need to be good. So we need some of our younger kids really to step it up. But, you know, hopefully a lot of times state champions are also born in the state tournament after losses because it's so disappointing. And hopefully we can use some of that motivation to really spur us on in the off season into next year.
Yeah, you really need, you know, every kid to kind of take a step forward. I mean, you probably need somebody like Alex to step up and become that go-to player inside, because before, you know, you guys could lean on Kenna and Rachel, and now she kind of needs to step up and be that leader, doesn't she?
She does. We'll have to talk to her about that. So, I mean, you know, like everybody, everybody's unique. Alex is certainly one of those. But, you know, I'm not sure if she knows how good she can be. You know, I think that's part of it, is getting the vision of how good they can be. And I know Kenna can tell you, Jackie Pippett, a lot of times we couldn't score in practice. Well, mostly we couldn't score against Jackie in practice. Just maybe could be one of the best defenders we've ever had in our program. She needs to take a step forward. And then, you know, Cleo, there's just a lot of our kids that are in that category. And we have some other young kids, too, that, you know, weren't on our team that have opportunities. So we just need to really work and, you know, and improve individually.
All right, Scott. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
It was... you ask Kenna, because she's the Twitter, she's the phone queen. I mean, if I have a question about how to use the phone, it's her, because she's an expert. But it was really cool to see you get the sportsmanship award at the state tournament. And I follow it just a little bit, but just what the little I follow, the trending on Twitter was crazy, that the people that were acknowledging how much you deserve that. So, and like Kenna said on the way back from Pleasant Valley, we need to do something for Dan. I mean, you drove the 6 hours, three there, three back, to cover us. And when it's not in the register so much anymore, just any publicity that we can get, you're just doing an awesome job with that. So your advertisers, the people that allow this to go on, we're very appreciative. We hope people support that. And a very, very deserving award. The 26 years I've been here, you've been nothing but a pro throughout the whole time. And on behalf of our program and our players, we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And I was very humbled to get that award. Can't tell you how much I appreciated it. I certainly got a lot of comments about it. And it was a lot of fun to be out there with you guys. So appreciate it.
Awesome. You're on.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. The Ankeny office here will close, or they did close, in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders in communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, my next guest was a senior on the Jaguar squad this season. She scored 17 points and grabbed 12 rebounds in Monday's game. She is Kenna Sauer. Kenna, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Well, you got a little emotional after the game, you know, talking to me about this being your final basketball game ever. You know, what was that like for you to take the uniform off for the last time? Did that get a little emotional for you as well?
Yeah, it definitely was really sad, especially, I mean, it's never fun to lose in overtime like that, but I'm not going out for track this year, so this really was my last high school sport ever, so that kind of hit me probably a little bit more than it would have if I were doing track, so it was sad.
Well, you certainly played your best basketball the season down the stretch. You averaged 15.5 points over your last six games. You know, you really wanted to keep playing as long as possible, didn't you?
Yeah, I really didn't ever want it to end. I know I started the season, I wasn't there as much as everyone else just because of volleyball and having some other conflicts, so it was kind of a slow start for me, and I wasn't maybe enjoying it as much as I could have, but with the team we had and, like, getting into it, coaches helped me get a lot better. That helps me enjoy it a lot more.
Well, you guys knocked off Pleasant Valley to qualify for the state tournament, you know, and you knew that you'd need to pull off another upset in order to advance. You know, what was your confidence level going into the Southeast Polk game? You know, like Coach mentioned, you didn't play so well in the first game. You know, did you like your team's chances to avenge that loss?
Yeah, I have had full confidence the whole time. Like the whole last half of the season, I knew we could really compete with anyone. You saw we beat number one Johnston. They weren't number one at the time, but I had full confidence in everyone that we could go all the way if we wanted to. Anything can happen at the state tournament, like you see with Dowling and Waukee in that crazy game, and three of the four games went to overtime. So it's really no telling what can happen, but I had full confidence in everyone, and then we just didn't quite get it.
What was the primary focus going into this game? You know, what did you guys learn from that first game against Southeast Polk?
We knew, one, we had to get off to a fast start, which we didn't do, which is okay. I mean, we, like he said, at halftime, we collected ourselves. We were really lucky to be down by only six. So coming out, we just had to keep chipping away and get stops, and that's what we did.
Well, we talked about that slow start. You know, do you think you guys were nervous before the game?
Some people I know probably had a few nerves. Like, we have Cleo. She'd never been there before. She was telling me before how nervous she was. And it's different. There's a lot of people, bright lights. It was pretty cold when we started for some reason. So it's a little bit hard to get warmed up, but you know, once you get going, you kind of have to drop all that. And I think after the first half, we kind of dropped it. We should have done it sooner, but it is what it is.
Well, unlike the first game against Southeast Polk, you know, this time you were able to come all the way back and take the lead. You know, it seemed like you guys had all the momentum after that 8-0 run in the fourth quarter. Gave you guys a 50-47 lead. Southeast Polk had to call a timeout. You know, at that point, you had to be confident that you guys were going to close it out.
Yeah, you really just can't think about much other things around you than just trying to chip away at the score and whatever it is, playing for each other and knowing that this very well could be the last quarter you guys will ever play together. So that gave us a lot of motivation to just keep pushing.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, Maggie McGraw made several big plays at the end for the Rams, and she may not be the best player in the CIML because, you know, like we talked about, Clark and Zoe Young are considered two of the best players in the country, but Maggie might be the most versatile, you know, with everything that she can do. She's just kind of a tough matchup for you guys, isn't she?
Yeah, she could do a lot, and we knew that going in, but, you know, it's always nice to have D1 really good basketball players in your team, but DeYoung told us in practice before we played that he would take 5 Jaguars any day over 2 superstars, which is a pretty good matchup. If you have everyone that's all in, you know, you can do anything against 2 superstars. But and then, like, they did make some really good plays that probably helped him in the long run.
Coach said that maybe he made a mistake by not putting you on her. Would you have taken that challenge to guard her?
Of course. I would have probably guarded anyone he put on me. But, I mean, in the moment, I'm not thinking about any of that. I'm just trying to think about winning, so that never crossed my mind really. But they did put me on Larkins for a while at the end, which I thought was just fine, and unfortunately we couldn't get McGraw to slow down. But
well, I told Scott the other day that you guys did a good job on Larkins. You know, she had the big first half, and then you know, she really didn't do much in the second half. But having two players like that, it's just, you can't shut down everybody, can you?
Yeah, we knew those two were going to be big, and they also have some other athletic kids that can do some pretty good things, but at the end of the game, it really came down to those two, like, having some pretty good games.
Well, you tweeted after the game, you said, what a ride it has been to rep Centennial for 4 years. It's crazy that my time in a Centennial jersey is over. I wouldn't trade the wins or losses for anything, and to be a part of such amazing teams is all I could have asked for and more. The future is exciting. Well, we'll talk about your future here in a bit, but obviously you had a great career at Centennial in all of your sports. You know, it would have been easy for you to just focus on volleyball at some point, but clearly you enjoyed, you know, every minute of your basketball and track careers as well. You know, being a multi-sport athlete was very important to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, more than, I just like being around new people. You know, every sport brings a different experience and a different type of team. So, unfortunately, some of my seasons were cut short, or I didn't get all of them that I could have because I was hurt. But going out this season was probably one of the better decisions I made, just because it was such a good team, and, like, I don't think I'll ever, all the things I learned through doing different sports, not just volleyball, helps me a lot, and it'll probably help me a lot in the long run.
When you mentioned they were going to be going out for track this spring, and I was talking to Coach Kruzik at one of your basketball games here recently, you know, and he told me that you had just informed him that you wouldn't be, you know, doing that this spring, and it sounds like you really didn't have, you know, much of a choice, but it was still a hard decision for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It took me, honestly, a really long time to come to that decision. My parents had kind of mentioned it, and it had been in the back of my head, and I just decided that I didn't want to take a chance at getting to college and saying, oh, I wish I would have, you know, prepared a little bit more. So I think I'm just gonna take the rest of this time to, you know, lift every day and focus on volleyball for once, because I've never really been able to just do that. So I think that'll be really good for me, and I'm excited. I move in super early. I move in June 1st, so I would have a very quick turnaround from track, so I'm just going to focus on volleyball.
So you're ready to become a full-time volleyball player now then?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that, but I'm definitely going to miss other sports, just giving all these different experiences. It's going to be different, but I'm excited for it.
Well, looking ahead to your next volleyball season, do you think you'll have a chance to play right away down there?
I know I'm having the opportunity to compete for the spot. There's two really good players, older upperclassmen, that have the spots right now. But my coach has told me that there's another girl in my class who's also an outside, so I'll be competing with her also. But I'm just going to get in there this summer and train with them and hopefully get that spot.
Well, I see Coach Kreklo already has a couple of other Iowans on his roster, so he knows how to recruit players from this state. Now, do you know Riley and Kylie pretty well already?
Kylie, actually, I played against her. She's obviously older than me, but in some of my club tournaments, I've played against her. She's a really good player and just Riley, I didn't know until I went on my visit, but she's a super nice girl, and it's nice to kind of have those connections when I go on visits. It's kind of nerve-wracking when, you know, you're just a recruit and you don't really know anyone, so to have those connections, and they're really nice to me, and all the players are really nice to me, so it was nice.
Sure. Well, I wanted to get your take on Missouri's move to the SEC, and I had to look it up today. I didn't realize it had been 7 years ago that they made that move. You know, and I think part of the reason for that move initially was to raise Missouri's profile on a national scale, and it seems like maybe that move has kind of had some mixed results. If you look at the different sports, you know, like in football, they're kind of overshadowed by Alabama. Yeah. Men's basketball, they're kind of overshadowed by Kentucky. But obviously, the Missouri volleyball program has thrived, you know, in the last several years, you know. Do you think that's been a good move for them to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the SEC is super strong volleyball-wise. And in 2016, they won the conference championship, which was really big, only being, I think that was like their third year, maybe sixth year, I don't know, in the SEC, which there's a lot of good competition. Obviously, the Big Ten is really good, but just to even have that competition really raises Missouri's level a lot, so that'll be fun.
Now, I'm trying to remember, what are you going to study down there?
Speech pathology.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you're looking forward to getting into that program.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just going to kind of test it out, and if I don't like it, I don't know what I'll do, but...
Well, if it doesn't work out for you, I know they have one of the best journalism schools around, so
yes,
you can always go that route.
Yes.
Well, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about the rest of the girls' basketball tournament as well. You know, so who do you think is going to win it, or is there a team that you want to win it?
I mean, I don't really want a particular team to win it. I think, like DeYoung said, it's a toss-up, like we saw the first day. There can be upsets and overtime wins and all that good stuff. I think Johnson has a really good team, like you said, and athletic and tall and fast, but Southeast Polk also has Ann Valley, and everyone else in it really does have everything that it takes to win it, so I think it'll be interesting to see who takes it.
Yeah, well, and this is the 100th edition of the girls' tournament. I understand on Saturday that the girls' union is going to be honoring some of the oldest living former girls' basketball players at the tournament. And there's actually a woman from Ankeny, Wilma Moore Cornwell, who is 99 years old, and she's going to be among those playing to attend. That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very crazy.
Well, maybe someday they can honor you when you're 99. That'd be about the year 2100, I think.
Oh, yeah. Our JV is playing a 6-on-6. I really want to watch that. They've been practicing with Coach Rasmussen, he's been coming in and coaching them a little bit. I've never seen 6-on-6, so I don't know what that's like. But
it's a different game for sure. Well, Kenna, thanks a lot for coming in. I just want to thank you, too, for all that you've done over the years. It's been a pleasure to cover all your events and games over the years, and you've been great to work with.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.